I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I live about 16 miles as a crow flies from ground zero. And when I got home, there was a constant sound of sirens going off. Go inside, talk to my wife for about a half hour, come back out, the sirens are still going off. Look on my phone, I see the derailment. I am not shy. Anyone within 10 miles, I'm begging you not to drink the water. I am begging you not to bathe in the water. It is not safe. Everyone says, oh, it's safe, we're good to go. EPAs are saying it's safe. We saw what happened in the pandemic, so that's uh-huh. that. But what I'm saying is, now that we've had this disaster, unfortunately for us, no one got killed on the initial explosion, but we got to worry about cancer in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
That's a pretty frightening prospect, as expressed by Ohio Senator Michael Rowley, Republican, living near that East Palestine derailment. This is February 20, 2023, President's Day, and this derailment continues to be a major issue and being ignored by the Biden administration. I'll get to more of that in a moment. But again, as you were listening to the senator talking about how bad things have been, you hear from him directly, we're seeing nothing of real value from our government.
For 12 days, nobody showed up. I mean, literally nobody showed up. You had people from the Ohio State were there. You know, in all fairness to the governor, he sent down some really nice crews down there that were working on it, but the feds were nowhere to be found. Sherrod Brown just came yesterday. Now, I mean, we're day 14, and he just comes yesterday. And then the FEMA guy came the day before, and he's telling everyone to drink the water. I mean, give me a break. These are my people. These are people I go to church with. They shop in my store. I have 189 employees. I have six of my employees live there. And, you know, we brought in six trailer loads of water 2 days ago. I got four more trailer loads coming down on Tuesday.
Yeah, trying to get more water in. What kind of help are they getting? Where is the president? Where is President Biden? Well, he found a place to visit, but it was not near the train derailment. And Congressman Kustoff, Republican of Tennessee, calls him out for it.
Kudos to the president going to Ukraine. I think there are a lot of people here in the U.S. that would say he probably should have gone to Ohio and visited with the people who've been afflicted by the derailment first. But the other surprise is the amount of money that President Biden says that the United States is going to commit to Ukraine. Look, we're all for Ukraine. We support their effort against the Russians as we approach the one-year anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine. But the message that I get from constituents all across West Tennessee, and I think other members of Congress get, is we need to stop the spending. We've got to slow down the spending, and we need to take care of people at home first before we look to take care of people across the world. So there's going to be tremendous pushback, both I think from the House and from the Senate, about additional expenditures for the Ukrainian effort. The president is really going to have to come in strong and explain the need and the necessity, because the message that I get from people here is we've got to stop.
We got to stop. He took another $500 million with him. That makes about $13 billion we've given Ukraine. Oh, by the way, air raid sirens went off while the president was there. I think it was a staged event. It was totally staged as the president was speaking.
1 year ago, the world was literally at the time bracing for the fall of Kyiv. Seems like a lot longer ago than a year, but think back to that year. Perhaps even the end of Ukraine. You know, 1 year later, Kyiv stands, and Ukraine stands, democracy stands, the Americans stand with you, and the world stands with you. Kyiv has captured a part of my heart, I must say.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of your bank account has been built up off of Kyiv and all of the activities of Hunter Biden in that region. And I think your heart needs to be here in America, in Ohio, where we have people suffering. Biden has not visited the train derailment. Trump might do it today or tomorrow, later today or tomorrow. or Wednesday. Trump might go there Thursday. And the transportation secretary, forget him, he's not going apparently at this point, unless Biden goes first. In the meantime, our Department of Homeland Security secretary insisting over and over again to Chris Wallace over the weekend, our border is secure.
The border is closed. The border is secure. The border is secure.
Critics point out, in 2020, Donald Trump's final year in office, U.S. border authorities encountered migrants 458,000 times at the border. But under Joe Biden, in 2022, there were 2.3 million encounters. When you say it's, what does secure mean to you? It certainly doesn't mean that people aren't able to get across the border illegally.
Of course not. That is that. By that measure, the border has never been secure, right? Since the Department of Homeland Security was created, individuals have evaded.
So, by what measure is it secure now, sir?
So there is not a common definition.
Ah, yes, there is. Close the border, and he just admitted we've been invaded. Kind of slid that in there. So Mayorkas might be facing impeachment. Chris Wallace quizzing him on that issue.
You could be the first cabinet secretary to be impeached since 1876. How seriously do you take these calls for your impeachment?
Oh, I take them seriously. It is the leadership of the House that provided those remarks. I don't dismiss it by any measure. But what I do is I focus on my work.
What do you think is the basis for their calling for your impeachment? Do you think you've done anything wrong?
No, I don't. I think it is a disagreement over policy, and I think it is used for political purposes.
The whole border has been used as a political purpose since the Democrats got in office and before. Oh, by the way, the last cabinet official impeached, Secretary of War Belknap, in 1876, impeached by the House for bribery, stealing, so forth. But he resigned before it went to the Senate. Still, he was impeached. Could not get enough votes in the Senate to actually convict him. And so it may go here for Mayorkas. Coming up, we're going back in time to a book written by astronomer Carl Sagan, 1995. I want you to hear how close it reflects today's America. Sagan died the year after the book was published. By the way, his IQ was 170. Pretty close to mine. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man. Rocket man.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives.
That's Carl Sagan from one of his presentations that he was doing at one time on PBS, Cosmos. It was an entertaining program, and it was helping us explore our universe. Carl Sagan passed away back in 1996. And those of you who are not aware of his work and so forth, I encourage you to go back and look at some of it, listen to some of it. Now, he also did some testimony in front of Congress, reference climate, so forth. I don't have time to get into all that. I'll let you check it out. But my boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew, trying to get another free beer, I guess, sent me information about Carl Sagan on this particular piece. And is this worth sharing? It's a piece written by Gabe Brigado, and it was written in 2017. Now, I just told you, Sagan passed away in 1996. 21 years later, you've got Gabe Brigado writing this piece saying that this Carl Sagan prediction from 1995 is surprisingly correct. And at that time, it was making its rounds on Twitter and on Reddit, a passage from his demon-haunted world, Science is a Candle in the Dark. It's a book he wrote in 1995 that had some people on edge. He was forecasting at that time a future where America's manufacturing would be totally outsourced, America's future, and people would be unable to question authority without facing grim possibilities. Andrew said, you know, this rings very clear now. Just as Gabe Brigado was saying in 1996, and maybe even more so now. Let me read you a section of what he wrote. This is again from his 1995 book, Demon Haunted World, Science is a Candle in the Dark. I really regret he's not alive to get his take on COVID and how we handled it and the science of COVID. When he passed, he was only 62 years old or so, I think. That was 1996, so he'd be well into his 80s, but I think you could still, hopefully, give us strong information and views. But here's what he wrote from 1995. That put a lot of people on edge, in 1996, shortly after the book came out. I have a foreboding of an America in my children's or grandchildren's time when the U.S. is a service and information economy, when nearly all the key manufacturing industries have slipped away to other countries, when awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. When the people have lost the ability to set their own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority. Let's stop it right there. Where do we stand right now with big tech and how it's abused and controlled our population? When it got weaponized along with the FBI, the DOJ, by one party in control. And I have to tell you, if Republicans had done the same as Democrats, I'd be the first in line to call them out as well. If you think I'm making a decision strictly based on political views or leanings, you're wrong. I'm going to call balls and strikes. For those of you who love Trump, I've said repeatedly, in case you missed it, I'm not full Trump all the time. I have questions, I have concerns. I'm not sure if he should run this time. I want someone to run who can win. Can Nikki Haley? I don't know that she can. I think she's got some presidential timber, but I'm not sure she's ready yet. DeSantis? Yes, probably more likely. Well, like when Trump ran with the 16-plus other candidates, he was not my first, second, or third choice. Don't know if Cruz is going to run this time. Don't know if Rubio is going to run. So don't take me for being one-sided. I try my best to still, I have a basic fabric of balance and being fair with you. The difference between being a news anchor and doing this program is that I can express my views here, and I do. But I still have that basic fabric that says, I want to make sure you hear all sides, or the best I can. So I'm not Trumper forever. But when I look, and I say the same again, if the Republicans had done and weaponized the FBI, the DOJ, the Attorney General's office, and big tech the way the Democrats did, I'd be just as loud shouting against them. But Carl Sagan was pointing out, again, this is a book he wrote in 1995, these awesome technological powers are in the hands of a very few, and no one representing the public interest can even grasp the issues. And you've lost your ability to set your own agendas or knowledgeably question those in authority. COVID's a perfect example. You don't dare question us. We told you, mask, you have to wear a mask. Oh, and then later we told you, well, the masks aren't really going to do any good. You need to get a shot. You get the shot, you'll be safe. You won't transmit it, and you won't get it. That turned out to be wrong. You get the booster, then you're okay. Oh, now maybe you're going to need another booster. That's one of my prayers morning and night, that we do not go through in this nation or around the globe another pandemic like that. Not just for the loss of life and sickness and fear, but the controls clamping down on the people. China just recently relaxed its zero tolerance policy because they realized they could stay ahead of it anyway. Carl Sagan continued in his book in 1995. When clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what's true, we slide. We slide without noticing back into superstition and darkness. I want you to hear another clip of Carl Sagan from his PBS program, The Cosmos. And again, he sets in perspective of everything we have on this planet and how we are then and are today, and have been in the past since the beginning of time, and probably will until the end of our time.
Every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. The earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena.
Very small stage, suspended in a sunbeam. He goes on to say in his book again, this is from the book, The Demon-Haunted World, which he wrote in 95, Carl Sagan. He adds this, the dumbing down of America is most evident in the slow decay of substantive content in the enormously influential media. The 30-second sound bites, now down to 10 seconds or less, the lowest common denominator programming, credulous presentations on pseudoscience and superstition, but especially a kind of celebration of ignorance. Wow. Again, he wrote that in 1995. Another correspondent, Gabe Brigado, in 2017 said his 1995 prediction is surprisingly correct. That was 2017. Look at us now 5 years later. One theoretical theoretical physicist said, good grief, I cannot believe how spot on that Carl Sagan's quote was. I had to check it to make sure it was accurate. And I encourage you to check me as well. Then the writer of the article said, while it's great that major scientists, Bill Nye, Sagan, Neil Tyson, all treated like celebrities nowadays, also vital to remember these men can be wrong, and sometimes their high profile ends up being detrimental to actual progress. You need to take what they say with a grain of salt. Okay, give me all the salt you want. What he said there is pretty damn accurate as to where we are today. Again, this writer is writing in 2017, 5 years ago. He says that Sagan's prediction holds some legitimacy, but parts of it can also be debunked. Yes, China beats out the U.S. when it comes to manufacturing, but the U.S. is still the second most competitive manufacturing economy. Is that what we want? Second best? And he said, then there are those who are genuinely intrigued by Sagan's prediction, questioning whether or not he's actually a time traveler. He said, they're probably all joking. And then he adds, fitting enough, the prediction comes from the same book that Sagan touts, quote, the fine art of baloney detection, and also known how to recognize BS when it lands right on your face. While there definitely is some truth to Sagan's prediction, it might be worth to evaluate all parts of it before choking on some fake deli meat. That's the way the writer did it in 2017, 5 years ago. I get the impression, maybe it's just me, but I get the impression being in 2017, Trump was in power. He didn't like Trump. He didn't like the way some things were going. And so he said, don't buy into Sagan. I'm not telling you to buy in or not. I'm saying consider. Just consider. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023. But Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beale Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealeroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beale family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealeroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beale. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So today, Governor DeSantis is starting his tour of blue cities, Democrat-run cities, to kick off his pro-police tour, beginning with a city that never sleeps, New York City, where he and Governor Abbott have been sending illegals from time to time. And, of course, the reaction from the New York City mayor's office. Welcome to New York City, where we don't ban books, discriminate against LGBTQ plus neighbors, use asylum seekers as props, or let the government stand between a woman and health care. We're happy to teach you something about values while you're here. That from New York City Mayor Eric Adams' office. Response coming from DeSantis' team minutes later through a spokeswoman, saying nice rhetoric, but here's reality. More Americans fled New York City than any other metro area last year, many moving to Florida. And Mayor Adams, you've talked accurately about crime pushing people out of New York City. Florida's crime rate, meanwhile, a 50-year low. Maybe you can learn something from DeSantis. I love it. Good verbal fight, back and forth. And I'd say DeSantis has the high ground, the correct ground. And I remind you that Mayor Eric Adams is being criticized by the Canadian government because he's been busing illegals out of New York City into Canada until Canada said, stop it. Now, here's a story from San Fran, and you could say this is just one child, one school. Take it that way if you want to. This is a Ukrainian refugee girl. She and her mother settled in San Francisco, and she started her eighth grade class at one of the schools. And she saw students interrupting classes, jumping on desks, cursing at teachers, and she was waiting to see what would happen and found out nothing. Nothing happened. The students were not disciplined. They weren't removed from the room. They weren't even told to stop it. Teachers let them go. The board's progressives still control the San Francisco schools. So many parents have been pulling their children out of the San Francisco Unified School District and taking them to private or religious schools. Some families have just left the city so they can be at a school where you don't have that kind of activity going on. As I said, you can take it just as a story of one Ukrainian girl who now says, I want to go back home to Ukraine. Things were better. All right, let me take you to the other side of the coast. Let's go to Maryland. In Silver Spring International Middle School, Maryland, a teacher is very upset because she says, I'm being pushed around. I'm a history teacher. I know history. As far as I'm concerned, as a white person, as a history teacher, if your ancestors built this country, you have the right to burn the mother effer down to the ground. And white people, you're going to need to do better because your opinion on this is at best irrelevant, at worst literally propagating white supremacy. This is a teacher in the Maryland School District. She also admits she does hide student gender changes. She has a poster in her classroom telling students, my name is M.X. Cogdale. My pronouns are X.E., X.E.M., X.I.R., X.I.R.S. I don't know how to pronounce them. I'm not going to try. She does say when a student questions her own gender, she asks them, well, what name and pronoun do you want to use? We'll use it, and we just won't tell your parents. And then she's upset. Parents are confusing and upsetting, saying, teach the curriculum. Stop confusing the kids. That's funny, because all I want, all any LGBTQ teacher wants, is just to teach content, have my identity a non-issue. And yet you tell the students you must do it my way, I'm XE or whatever. Which brings us roundabout to Don Lemon and his comments of last week. He may now be off CNN forever.
This whole talk about AIDS makes me uncomfortable. I think it's the wrong road to go down. She says people, you know, politicians or something are not in their prime. Nikki Haley isn't in her prime. Sorry. When a woman is considered to be in her prime in her 20s and 30s and maybe 40s.
What are you
That's not according to me.
Prime for what?
It depends. I mean, it's just like prime. If you look it up, it'll say, if you Google when is a woman in her prime, it'll say 20s, 30s, and 40s. I don't necessarily.
40s. Oh, I got another.
I'm not saying
decade.
I agree with that. So I think she has to be careful about saying that, you know, politicians aren't in their prime.
You need to qualify. Are you talking about prime for like childbearing? Yeah, or are you talking
don't shoot
about
the message.
Prime
I'm just
for being
saying
president.
What the facts are. Google it, everybody at home.
Google everybody at home, and you'll find out that, women are past their prime after the age of 40. Those are the remarks made the other day, last Thursday, Don Lemon Fruitcake's last day on the air at that time while he was going to take a planned vacation. That's what we're told. He was going to take a long vacation anyway, you know, Friday through Monday, today, President's Day. And again, I remind you, just to make sure we don't have a misunderstanding, I call him Don Lemon Fruitcake, not because of his sexual preference, I could care less, but because he's as nutty as a fruitcake. He was responding with that those remarks at the beginning, trying to find a way to destroy Haley, Nikki Haley. She's past her prime. And yet he turned around, if you recall, and was all supportive of Klobuchar when she was running, who's 62 years old, 62. And when Hillary was last running, let me check that. That just dawned on me. I'm surprised I didn't think of it. Hillary was born in, she's 75. So when she was last running, let's give her 10 years off. She would have been 65 when running against Trump. That's 10 years, and yet he calls out Nikki Haley. Well, you heard the reaction from his fellow co-anchors, who are women, and when he said, you're in your 40s, you're past your prime, Google it, and one of them said, oh, my God, I've only got a few years left. I guess she's approaching 50, or maybe she's just over the 50 line. I don't know what she meant. And Don Lemon Fruitcake is 56. When is a man past his prime? Now, to be honest, this has been a long battle inside TV, movies. You have to look a certain way, and the storyline often is presented to women. They won't tell them that you're getting a little too old, you're getting a little too many wrinkles, but to keep a man on anchor in place of a woman of the same age. I've been there. I know that. Of course, they're never going to tell them they're too old. Just like when it came to my time, they didn't tell me you are too old. They just, we want to go another route. Now the word is that Don Lemon is benched. Apparently he was supposed to be back today, and they say his future at the network is now under discussion. Isn't it great when all this woke comes back and bites you right in the arse?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Speaking of the woke crowd realizing, oh, that might be a mistake, we need to reconsider. Let me put this story in front of you. The city of San Francisco, considering its boycott of socially conservative states. That's right. Remember they said, look, if you are not going to support LGBTQ issues and everything else we want, then we will boycott your state. Well, obviously, it's going to be primarily red states. So the city of San Francisco was not going to send any delegates for any conventions or anything to any red states. The problem they found is that there are about 30 red states that they often were going to. So the ban only applied to those 30 states. So they needed a lot more blue states to make up some of these events. Some did, some didn't. But they've also found after these bans on travel still have not changed the red states' opinions about being forced to accept same gender restrooms and LGBTQ issues they kept trying to shove down their throat. So now the San Francisco Chronicle is noting since the law applies only to 30 states, only one of which has been removed from the ban list, the city is now deciding this is costing the city way too much. A competition likely to increase the city's contracting costs by 10 to 20% annually. So they're looking for ways to either repeal the boycott entirely or amend it in various ways. They were trying to punish the red states, any states that would not accept all the woke culture shoved down your throat We will boycott you. Red State said, come on. Dare you. Cross the line. And now they are backing up and saying, we're going to reconvene for another meeting. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.